In the early 2000s, the Japanese press referred to Sony, Sanyo, and Sharp as the 3S. Sanyo has this fascinating history, a ubiquitous Japanese electronics brand I saw all the time growing up. The company rode a wave of economic growth and globalization, but like other Japanese companies of this first generation, they failed to adapt. In today's video, the life and times of Sanyo. But first, I want to remind you about the Asianometry Patreon. Early access members get to see new videos first, with selected references attached. I deeply appreciate all of you, thank you, and on with the show. The life of Sanyo begins and ends with the Matsushita Electric Industrial Company. Toshio Iue was born in 1902, the eldest son of eight children, in the city of Awaji, on Awaji Island, in between the two main islands of Honshu and Shikoku. His father was Seitaro Iue. Seitaro had been born to a long line of self-sufficient farmers, but shunned that life to be a sailor. But when Toshio was 13, Seitaro was lost at sea. Against his mother's wishes, Toshio became an apprentice sailor too. Then while on a voyage transporting limestone from Osaka, a nearby warehouse exploded near Toshio's boat, sinking it. Iue barely escaped with his life. After that brush with the beyond, Iue decided to change careers for his mother's sake. So he joined a small electronics factory set up by his brother-in-law, Konosuke Matsushita, one of the most famous industrialists in Japanese history. Konosuke Matsushita was born in 1894 to a small land-owning family that soon fell into poverty after speculating in rice. Matsushita's brothers and sisters passed away from illness, and Konosuke himself suffered weak health throughout his entire life. He was soon sent to Osaka and apprenticed to local shops. At the age of 16, he saw the effect that electrification might have on Japan and joined the Osaka Electric Light Company. He worked there, installing and removing electrical wiring in households. He was good at his job and was soon promoted to inspector at the age of 21. An inventive soul, Matsushita came up with a new design for a light socket and showed it to his supervisor, expecting it to be praised. But his supervisor took one look at it before declaring it no good. Naively confident in his abilities, Matsushita resigned in June 1917 and started a factory to produce this new socket. At the start, the company, named after himself, had about 100 yen from savings. Its only employees were Konosuke himself, his wife Mumeno, and Mumeno's brother Toshio Iue. They started producing Matsushita's new socket design inside his house, but its killer app came later, a bicycle-mounted electric lamp called the National that stayed lit without blowing out in the wind. It became their breakout hit. Iue began as a mere laborer, but quickly graduated to sales. He frequently traveled to Tokyo to handle issues for Konosuke when the latter was ill. Matsushita, the company, soon diversified into a broad range of electric products like electric heaters, radio sets, and dry batteries. They sold these products to customers at low prices in Japan's growing retail stores. During Japan's era of militarism, Matsushita became a large government supplier. Many of their retail electronics, like fans and heaters, had been banned as luxuries, the raw materials rerouted to weaponry. So Matsushita factories instead made bayonets, propellers, gun parts, munitions, and wireless receivers. But Japan's fortunes quickly turned, and by 1943, it was clear that there will be no glorious victory. Desperate to keep on fighting, the government increasingly took control of Japan's industries and commanded them to build fighting ships and planes. So, Matsushita, too, started making ships and planes, a move that said more about how bad things were than its actual prospects for success. Toshio Iue led the shipbuilding subsidiary, personally plunging into the cold ocean to help inspect their first wooden boat. Konosuke Matsushita looks back at all this with some bitterness and regret. ships and planes were never in their wheelhouse. But Matsushita, feeling an obligation to serve the nation, said yes. No big surprise, but both efforts failed. And those twin failures not only saddled the company with significant debt, but also put them squarely in the crosshairs of the Allied Occupation, or GHQ. To prevent another conflict, the GHQ demanded the dismantlement of the Japanese war machine. This affected the conglomerate businesses that collaborated with the military government, called the Zaibatsu, massive companies with names like Mitsui, Mitsubishi, Yasuda, and Sumitomo were affected. Konosuke was shocked to find that Matsushita Electric was flagged as a Class A Zaibatsu. Their production would be restricted and Konosuke and his family would be removed from company management, unable to even enter its buildings. The GHQ believed Matsushita to be a Zaibatsu because of its complex web of 60-plus subsidiaries. But if you summed up its assets, the company was nowhere near the size of a Mitsui or Mitsubishi. In 1946, Toshio Ioe, Matsushita's general manager and Konosuke's right-hand man, resigned. No public reason was given, but the move is widely seen as Ioe taking the blame for the company's wartime activities, fulfilling the GHQ's management purge requirements, and relieving pressure on Konosuke himself. After a great deal of lobbying, the GHQ eventually downgraded Matsushita Electric from Zaibatsu status, and things returned to normal. But Ioe did not return. After resigning, the 43-year-old Ioe returned to his hometown, intending to fish in the countryside. But just like those professional athletes who retire to, quote, spend more time with their family, end quote, only to realize that their family sucks, Ioe soon felt that itch again. He met with a director at Sumitomo Bank who offered him a large unsecured loan to get started. And as a parting gift, Konosuke Matsushita transferred an unused factory in Hojo as well as the rights to manufacture and sell bicycle lamps using the old national brand name. Thus, in February 1947, we have Sanyo. The name literally means three oceans. It refers to the Pacific, Atlantic, and Indian Oceans, not sure what happened to the Antarctic and Arctic, and signaled the founder's global ambitions. The first Sanyo factory only had power for a third of the day, and struggled to collect enough raw materials to produce finished goods. But the staff got things working, and Ioe got bicycle lamps into as many sales channels as possible, eventually taking 60% of the market. They then moved into other bicycle things like horns and bicycle locks. Very quickly, however, Sanyo diversified out of the bicycle ecosystem and into the household. In the 1950s, Japan underwent a period of rapid economic recovery and growth. Incomes were rising, people were moving to the cities, and a middle class was emerging. This consumer-driven society, partly modeled after the United States, presented opportunities for companies like Sony, Sharp, Matsushita, and Sanyo. Sanyo diversified into toasters and blenders, but their first hit was a vacuum tube radio, the SS-52. Introduced in 1952, the radio's plastic body let it have an exceptionally low price of 8,950 yen. Importantly, Sanyo marketed it with an eye-catching gimmick. They made a larger version of the radio and put it on the back of a Toyota truck. The truck then drove around the city. After this, Toshio Ioe heard about washing machines and had Sanyo produce the SW-53 washing machine. It was a jet-type machine with a spinning blade mounted on the chamber side, blowing jets of water into the tub. Ioe had seen a version made by the U.S. company Hoover, and immediately ordered Sanyo to copy it. To promote it, Sanyo hired the legendary Japanese actress Michio Kogure for the adverts. Toshio based his sales pitch on keeping the women of Japan young, saying, "Imagine each person generates 400 grams of laundry per day. For a family of five, that's about 2,000 kilograms over 3 years, the equivalent weight of an elephant from a zoo. Housewives have essentially been carrying washing, wringing, and hanging an entire elephant every 3 years. Now add the water usage. Can you imagine the effort involved? In other words, Japanese housewives are seriously mistreated. As someone who deeply respects women, I must speak out loudly on this issue. This is no laughing matter. Abuse ages people prematurely. Using a washing machine directly contributes to keeping housewives youthful. We aren't selling washing machines merely because it's profitable. Ultimately, it's the housewives themselves who benefit most. Not a bad sales pitch, if you ask me. Along with the TV and refrigerator, the washing machine became known as one of the three sacred treasures, the most crucial three things that a family had to buy in this new era. And of course, Sanyo produced the other two as well. By 1960, they were Japan's third largest electronics maker. Sanyo's diverse lineup, global mindset, and low prices made them a successful exporter. In 1958, they signed a contract with an American antenna company called Channelmaster, providing radios, tape recorders, and other items for Channelmaster to sell under their own brand name. Sanyo also regularly opened factories abroad. To attain better trade terms without giving up on labor costs, they set up a factory in British Hong Kong in 1961, one of the first Japanese companies to do so. And in an interesting piece of trivia, Sanyo helped create the Samsung giant. Lee Byung-chul, Samsung's founder, had reached out to several Japanese companies for technical help. Toshio Iwe responded most effusively, and the two became friends. So in late 1968, their companies founded a joint venture, and Samsung sent over 100 Korean engineers to Sanyo for training. Unfortunately, the collaboration did not last long. Product overlaps caused tensions, and in 1974, Sanyo withdrew. Samsung Electronics struck out on its own. Sanyo remained successful throughout the 1970s and 80s. In 1967, Toshio Iwe stepped down from the company he founded, intending to finally return to his hometown and contribute there. Unfortunately, his retirement did not last long. Toshio died 2 years later from tuberculosis at the age of 66. One of his final wishes had been to see the Apollo 11 spaceflight, but he passed away the morning of the launch. With Toshio's passing, his younger brother, Kaoru Iwe, took over as chairman. The company by now had grown into a giant. In 1970, Sanyo was Japan's second largest electric appliance brand, second only to Matsushita itself. They had over 300 products in their lineup, from washing machines to sake warmers. But that year, U.S. companies sued Sanyo and other Japanese TV makers for dumping color TVs into the U.S. market to drive American competitors out of business. Between 1966 and 1970, the number of Americans employed in the TV industry fell 50%, another 30% between 1971 and 1975. Labor unions and governments brought incredible political pressure, which eventually led to a voluntary export restraint, essentially a quota, on Japanese color TVs into the United States. In response to this, Kaoru reoriented the company into several new directions. First, they set up manufacturing in the United States. In 1977, they took over a troubled CRT TV factory in Forest City, Arkansas, from their distributor, the American retailer Sears and Roebuck. Despite culture clashes and labor turmoil, the factory kept producing TVs for another 30 years, thanks in part to the vigorous efforts of Arkansas's then-governor Bill Clinton, who struck up a friendship with Toshio Iwe's son, Satoshi. Second, Iwe reoriented Sanyo's production and export with the one-third marketing strategy, a strategy for diversifying production by geography to reduce trade risks. This ended up with strange situations, like Sanyo setting up a TV factory on a desolate Argentinian island called Tierra del Fuego at the very southern tip of South America. Or Ghana, where a Sanyo factory produced TVs, fridges, and air conditioners for export to places like the United States, Such locations tend to be chosen on the basis of favorable political or economic incentive. These new strategies worked out in the 1970s and 1980s. Sanyo's sales from the United States grew from $71 million in 1972 to $855 million in 1978. They even survived the blunder of choosing Sony's Betamax over VHS for video cassettes. Unfortunately, the company suffered a tragic scandal in 1985 when its kerosene heaters caused several dozen people in Japan to fall ill to carbon monoxide poisoning. Four died. The elderly Kaoru Iwe took responsibility but collapsed at a shareholders meeting and had to resign. He died 2 years later. So the aforementioned Satoshi Iwe took over as chairman, the second generation of the family, and guided the company through this first scandal, only to run smack dab into Japan's major economic problems at the start of the 1990s. In 1991, the Japanese real estate bubble popped, and the country plunged into an economic downturn. The economic slump massively damaged Sanyo in its core home market. Japanese stopped buying as many audio-video equipment. Meanwhile, overseas, Sanyo products started encountering serious competition from the Koreans and Chinese. In 1992, the company cut its dividend for the first time in 22 years. Profits fell over 70% from the prior year. Satoshi Iwe took public responsibility by resigning the presidency, but he continued to exercise influence behind the scenes. Sanyo was already heavily invested in production overseas, but Japan's domestic weaknesses, along with the strengthening of the yen, pushed them to be even more aggressive. For example, in 1993, they moved production of tape recorders out of Japan to Southeast Asia. The results of this push was a mixed bag. Yes, it cut costs, but many of these factories became unprofitable either due to shifts in the economic environment or consumer tastes, and closing them became extremely difficult. Thus, they became stranded assets, burdening Sanyo's financial positioning. Facing challenges at the consumer level, Sanyo looked to innovations in the energy space. In 1992, they became Japan's largest producer of solar cells with 30% market share, just a smidge ahead of Kyocera. Hoping to commercialize their solar cell technology, they sponsored demos of solar-powered airplanes, solar roofs for houses, which was a good idea, solar roofs for cars, which was not, and solar-powered air conditioners, definitely not a good idea. The company soon found success in batteries. Sanyo had been a Japanese battery pioneer since the 1960s, when their sealed nickel-cadmium rechargeable battery, branded the Cadnica, led the industry with a long-lasting single charge along with a long cycle life. Then in the 1990s, nickel-cadmium was replaced, first by nickel metal hydride and then lithium ion. Sanyo was a pioneer in both, upscaling nickel metal hydride chemistries and mass-producing lithium ion in 1994 with a lithium cobalt oxide chemistry. Nickel hydride batteries were adopted for several early hybrid cars, like the Ford Escape as well as the Honda Accord and Civic. This success led to a rare scaling up of production at a plant in Takasaki. Batteries became Sanyo's best business. Then, in 2004, Sanyo was dealt a major financial blow, and it involved semiconductors. The company had been doing work in semiconductors for many years. They fab many of their own chips. Their main fab was located in Niigata Prefecture. Built in 1985 or 1990, it produced analog chips and large-scale ICs for audio-visual equipment. In October 2004, Niigata was hit by a magnitude 6.8 earthquake, a particularly strong shake. This major earthquake injured over 4,000 people and killed 68. The earthquake did not heavily damage the fab's outer shell, but the clean room inside was smashed. Work-in-progress wafers and the equipment were tossed around. It took 3 months to restart production. It took a whole 3 days to survey the damage due to concerns about gas leaks. The city's water supplies were shut off and took weeks to come back. Without water, Sanyo could not clean off the chemicals, stalling progress. Inside, the ion implantation and CMP equipment had been irreparably damaged. The ducts to the PVC equipment were also damaged. All of that needed to be replaced at high cost. Sanyo had recently consolidated the production of three factories into this one fab, so there were few alternatives. And unfortunately, they did not have earthquake insurance on it, so the company had to swallow the full cost of the damage. They estimated that the total damage was about $840 million, including the impact of lost sales. In March 2005, Sanyo reported a major heavy loss after previously forecasting a small profit. The dividend was entirely axed. Management blamed the loss on earthquake damage, and it indeed cost Sanyo revenue, but there were other problems to be concerned about. For example, Sanyo was starting to fall behind in critical consumer electronics markets like digital cameras and mobile phones. The whole digital camera category was in the midst of heavy price declines due to market saturation, component cost declines, and the arrival of new competitors like Samsung. Worse yet, 95% of Sanyo's cameras were white labeled, putting them at the mercy of those customers. And while Sanyo mobile phones were mildly popular in North America, thanks to a close relationship to the American operator Sprint and groundbreaking new features like color screens and cameras, they struggled to make ground against formidable competitors like Motorola, LG, and the rapidly ascending Samsung. And in everything else, household appliances and the like, Chinese and Taiwanese companies were churning out products that were better and cheaper. Many of these Sanyo had no choice but to exit, an unbelievably unpleasant wind down. In the end, there was just the batteries division left as Sanyo's most profitable business, yet the margins of this crown jewel, just 6%. I think it says a lot about the nature of that business, as well as Sanyo itself. The financial losses in 2005 meant another management change, and so Satoshi Inoue stepped down as chairman. But to the business community's surprise, Sanyo chose a complete outsider to replace him. In April 2005, Sanyo announced that it had appointed Tomoyo Nonaka, a 50-year-old former TV host and journalist, as chairwoman and CEO. She had recently joined the company's board. Satoshi also elevated his son, Toshimasa Inoue, to the president spot alongside Nonaka. A nod to the Inoue family's continued control behind the scenes. Inoue announced a restructuring plan to cut jobs and wind down unprofitable products like memory chips and appliances. And in perhaps an effort to inspire the company, Nonaka set a bold initiative named Gaia to lean into sustainability and produce environmentally friendly products, like a battery that can be recharged with solar panels and a washing machine that uses recycled water. She told Time magazine, "I think it's clear that the 21st century is about turning away from oil to alternate forms of energy. It's about sustainability, and Sanyo will be the solution provider for this new world." People hailed the move for breaking ground in terms of diversity and argued that an outsider can make the hard decisions that others cannot. But many others pointed out that Nonaka had no senior management experience and faced high odds. Sanyo had $14 billion in debt and just lost $1.6 billion in fiscal year 2005. There was no money for a revolutionary transformation, only depressing closures and job losses. So it was just being set up to fail. John Yang at Standard & Poor's Tokyo division told Bloomberg, "I wasn't surprised at this appointment, I was amazed. Given the lack of a track record, I'm not sure how Nonaka's going to turn Sanyo around." Nonaka did not last very long at the company. In late 2005, Sanyo agreed to take $2.6 billion from a consortium of Japanese and American investors, including Goldman Sachs and Sumitomo Mitsui Bank. They received a sizable equity stake and a majority of the board seats. The new investor group immediately clashed with Inoue and the management team over the speed and pace of the restructuring. For example, the semiconductor division was supposed to be quickly spun off. It wasn't, and Sanyo lost another $1.77 billion in fiscal year 2006. Inoue had initially promised a quick turnaround with a small profit, by 2007, results like what Carlos Ghosn had delivered for Nissan. But the team soon reneged on that promise, revising to show a third straight year of losses due to additional costs for closing plants in Europe and the United States. In 2006, Nonaka lost the CEO title. Then a year later, in 2007, per reporting by the Nikkei Business Daily, she apparently discovered accounting irregularities and booking $1 billion of losses prior to her arrival. She advocated for a thorough investigation, but was rebuffed by the board. Thusly, she resigned, and the company said it was for quote-unquote personal reasons. Well, those accounting irregularities turned out to be real and serious, and they eventually led to the disbanding of Sanyo's once-respected auditor, Misuzu, after nearly 40 years of operation. A week later, Toshimasa Ioue stepped down as president and was replaced by a lifetime employee. After nearly 60 years, the Ioue family had been removed from the company they founded. With Ioue out, Sanyo is taken apart like an antelope set upon by wild dogs. In February 2008, they sold their mobile phone business to Kyocera for $430 million. Considering the timing, they actually did fairly well. The iPhone would annihilate that business a few months later. In 2009, Panasonic, the former Matsushita Electric Industrial Company, was invited to acquire the business, which they did. It's a bit fitting, considering their shared history. Panasonic kept only the battery business, which later found a magnificent new customer in Tesla, and sold off everything else. The semiconductor fabs sold to onsemi, the fridges and washing machines sold off to the Chinese company Haier. Sanyo had a joint venture in Taiwan that dated back to the 1960s. In 2013, they exited that, leaving the company to continue on as Sanlux. I see their air conditioners around Taiwan here. Every other Sanyo thing, appliances and such, was absorbed into the Panasonic brand. The Sanyo name was then finally retired and has thus vanished, sunken into the oceans. Alright everyone, that's it for tonight. Thanks for watching. Subscribe to the channel, sign up for the Patreon, and I'll see you guys next time.